Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. A lot of dogs have the same issues you do, David. That's interesting.
They do. I feel bad for them.
And after doing tons of research, she feels there's only one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food.
So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes.
That is right, and I've been feeding it to our dogs for months now. It's actually something we use. They love it. They took to it immediately. They get everything they need from it. And David, we sent some to you. You said it tastes pretty good too, didn't you?
Oh, it's a great complete.
Do not eat it. That's not what we're saying. No, but it has been great for our dogs. And they are just getting everything they need because we are feeding them the best stuff. David, tell them how they can get this.
Go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all of these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today. Nation, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, hey, what's the catch, baby?
I said, bring me the head of Ryan Reynolds.
He did. True story. But after talking to him, hey, it all made sense. There isn't one. Not with Mint Mobile's secret sauce. And Brent, do you want to know what the secret sauce is?
I sure want to know. I do.
They sell wireless service online.
That's it.
They don't have retail stores or salespeople. They instead deliver premium phone plans directly to you.
And this worked great for me because we were moving to a new area and they're like, hey, do you want to try this out? And you can use your own phone. And it works better than what I had. And that's amazing. I don't want to say the company I was using. I don't want to tee it up like that. But I'm just going to tell you, it's been really, really, really good. And Mint Mobile here to rescue from your premium wireless. And it, like you said, it starts at $15 a month. They all come, all the plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, and that's delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And I know if I like anything in this world, it's large. So use your phone, your own phone, that is, with any Mint Mobile plan, and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts and all your pics that you scream at people when they start flipping through them, and you say, oh, don't give me my phone back. And then you can ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month.
Nice. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 dues a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile.com/hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower, above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome back into Mad Blurry Hysteria. I said that kind of like an ESPN announcer or something. Whoa, it's a blast from the past coming at you fast. I'm the host with the most coming from the third coast.
It's awesome, baby.
I guess I said ESPN, then I went to like 1950s disc jockey, but whatever. What is going on, gentlemen? It's been a minute. What's new with you?
Oh, man. Finally got snow here.
Ugh.
I say finally. It's they expect snow here in like October, but yeah, we got it dumped and it's still dumping right now. take a huge old dump outside.
Oh, man.
Like 2 feet.
It's the one time you can say, I kind of miss Chicago. Because we're not.
I'm okay with it. Man, Chicago's snow is so gross.
It's because it's, you don't know how much of it is ash and fallout.
Yeah. It's all that Brock's factory pollution.
Speaking of Chicago, I'm happy to say that for like the third year in a row, we're the number one for rats, beating out New York City once again. So we got that going for us.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
What a distinction.
I believe it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's there. The list you don't want to be number one on. Yeah, that was one of them. Well, they said that we're, because we have so many alleys. Chicago has alleys, New York doesn't. So they breed in them.
I get it, but also like New York, you guys put your trash in front of your businesses on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm dumping trash here.
With the biggest trash piles.
I mean, seriously though, it's like, you know, New York, the smell of trash permeates. That's like the smell of New York City to me, is the smell of trash. So it's sort of interesting that you guys would have more rats. I mean, I guess ours also live primarily in the sewers.
Yeah. And you got bigger rats.
I would argue if it's quality over quantity a little bit. I don't know. We don't want to lose to Chicago for fucking anything. I want us to have the best rats.
You're saying us, you don't even live in New York.
I know. Listen, all right. I'm a New Yorker. I still get spit on in Boston where I wear my Rangers jersey. Okay. I am still New York.
I want to tell you this. I lied to you a little bit. It's the seventh year in a row. Chicago has been ranked
rattiest city by Orkin Pest Control. That's exciting.
Yeah, Orkin.
That means the award is named after Chicago now, right?
Yes. It goes us, then Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, and Baltimore.
Huh.
Los Angeles probably is just because it's so fucking huge.
Yeah, Los Angeles is ginormous.
Space-wise, you know, so that kind of makes sense. But, it goes Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Detroit, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Denver, Minneapolis. Top 10. This wasn't
I don't care about that crazy story today.
This was just something sort of tired talking about, and I think I should have went with this. Rats. Chris, I think you brought this up, though. It is important. Ours are rat-sized rats. You know, New York, you always hear they're like cat-sized rats and shit, you know? So how much of that is true, I don't know. But
you guys ever saw Pizza Rat?
No, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. That's good stuff, man. Pizza Rat's awesome.
Pizza Rat and Cigarette Cockroach are two of my favorites. So
they really, so for a while, there's a... There's the Staten Island has like its own, Staten Island has its own, like, I don't know, like whatever the lower league baseball team is. Yeah. Right. And, there's a, the team I think should be the Staten Island Pizza Rats, which does actually have, logos and stuff like that and everything else. So it's pretty fun.
Oh, that's great.
They were looking for a different name, and so the Pizza Rats made it to the final five. They used to be the Staten Island Yankees.
Oh, my God. The logo's awesome. I'm looking it up.
Dude. Yeah, they're great, right? It's, like, really good. And so for a little bit there, Staten Island Pizza Rats was, like, one of the top five names. And then
one of the logos they came up with is, it's just NYC, but the N and the C are letters, and the Y is a piece of pizza that a rat has taken a bite out of to make it into a Y. Yeah,
it's really good, dude. And so now... It's they got changed now to a different name now, which is like I honestly don't even know what the new name is because it's not as good as the not nearly as good as the Staten Island Pizza Rats.
Have you guys ever taken time and just looked at minor league baseball team mascots and logos?
I hear that they're just crazy all over the place.
They're awesome.
On the nose. Really? Yeah.
They're so good. Okay, so let me tangent just for a second though. Montgomery, Alabama has the Montgomery Biscuits. And it's just like a little biscuit and an anthropomorphized biscuit with eyes, like googly eyes, a mouth. Its tongue is butter, I think.
Hell yes.
It's awesome. There's a, I think it's something to do with Champ, like the Lake Champ or the Vermont
Lake Monsters
or something like that.
I'm on here. I'm looking and I'm going to tell you, Chris, there's one right up your alley, the Albuquerque Isotopes.
Yeah.
So good.
They got the Toledo Mud Hens.
There's so many. And then in my home state, Kentucky, so there's a town called Florence. It's up near Cincinnati. And they have a minor league team. Well, Florence is sort of famous for this water tower that they have. Mm-hmm. And it just says, like, welcome to Florence, y'all. And I don't even know if it says welcome to. I think it might just say Florence, y'all. And I think it's supposed to be because it used to advertise for the Florence Mall. But then the Florence Mall, I think, shut down. And so they just painted a couple of lines off of the N, the M in mall. And so the water tower just says Florence, y'all. And so this baseball team became the Florence Y'alls.
That's awesome.
I told my mom, you got to run up there and get me a hat for that.
Yeah. Because
it's so hilarious.
One of the saddest ones. It's a little so stupid. The Hartford Yard Goats. What? The Hartford Yard Goats.
Norwich, the Norwich Sea Unicorns, which is literally just narwhals, but it's like wearing a little captain hat, and one of them's got a harpoon, and like it's awesome. I love minor league baseball team.
The
mascots.
El Paso Chihuahuas, Lansing Lugnuts, and it's just a lugnut. Yep, I'm looking at the biscuit. Yeah, his tongue's just like a pat of butter.
That's my favorite one. I love the Montgomery biscuits.
The Amarillo Sod Poodles. Sod Poodles. I don't
trash
even...
Rocket City Trash Pandas. I don't actually know if that's a real one, but it's showing up on here, and it's
the
awesome.
The Birmingham Pensacola Rumble Blue Ponies. Wahoos.
Oh, I kind of love it.
This is also, they have the Las Vegas 51s, and it's alien-themed.
Oh, that's awesome. Number one on this one is the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Yeah, these are all real, too. That's hilarious.
I love them. Oh, and one last thing. I have a hat. Last time I was in New Orleans, they told me about the New Orleans baby cakes. It's a king cake with a baby in a crown and a baseball bat busting out of it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I got me a hat of that. It's so disturbing and amazing.
One of the most weird meta things that's ever happened to me in my life was...
Well, it's what happens when you put things up to a vote with people nowadays, you know?
Well, so we had a buddy...
Baseball-y McBaseball face.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to work with a guy from New Orleans, and every year he would get a king cake. You know, the king cake has the little baby Jesus baked into it. He would bring it in, we'd eat it at work. Well, this guy named Rick that we worked with comes in, he eats it. I guess he didn't have any idea. He just grabbed a slice of cake and starts eating it. He bites into it, but he gets the scoop with the little baby Jesus, and he goes, "Ah, Jesus Christ." And I lost my shit. It's like the most on the nose, somehow like fourth wall breaking in real life. And he did not see the humor in it as I was dying.
There's a team called the Modesto Nuts, and it's just a peanut. What is happening? Oh, all right, well, these are amazing. This is great. This has been a good episode, guys.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys later.
What I think is great is you can make up your old names, and no one would, like, hey, what are you going tonight? We're going to see the Peoria Soulless Gingers. They're playing the the Dallas Moo Milkers.
That's right.
Now the question is, did I make those up or not? All right. Well, I guess, we could go ahead and do our picked topics this week. David, what were you bringing us?
Okay, well, I'm sad that we have to leave this. I just found the Boone Bigfoots. But my topic for this week, this is an old one. It's sort of old now, but it popped up in Imgur I saw today, and I was like, oh, yeah, that old chestnut. This is from Popular Mechanics. Scientists just killed the EM drive. This Boo. Is that impossible engine that mm-hmm. NASA and DARPA and all them were supposed to be working on. It basically was called the impossible drive because it breaks the laws of physics to work. That was the theory.
But it seemed to work, kind of was the thing.
But it seemed to work in initial trials. They did more trials, and this thing's been around for at least half a decade, if not more. By now, they did more trials, and after three papers were published, they're like, yeah, this doesn't work at all, you idiots. And it says one of the quotes from the article, I've got a couple here, but one of them says, it relies on Newton's second law, where force is defined as the rate of change of momentum. Thus, an electromagnetic wave traveling at the speed of light has a certain momentum which it will transfer to a reflector, resulting in a tiny force. And the mechanism for this is they would shoot microwaves in an enclosed chamber, and the bouncing of the waves inside would propel it with thrust. And that's why they thought this could be a fuel-less source of interstellar travel.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't work that way because you can't introduce energy into a closed system and break the law of – what is it, Chris? Thermodynamics or the law of momentum there?
Dude, it's like it's actually the law of conservation of energy. Mm-hmm. And so there's really only two actual laws of sort of physics in the universe. And those are that the amount of mass you put into a system, like basically the answer is mass never if you put some mass into a system, that amount of mass will either accumulate or it'll flow out. You can't just like lose or gain mass at random.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
And the same thing is true of energy. So if you put like 50 kilojoules of energy into a system and then like 10 kilojoules of it is used for pushing a turbine, then 40 kilojoules of it has to be wasted or has to just go someplace else. Right?
Yeah.
And right. So if we use the example of like a billiard ball for the EM drive here, what they basically were saying was if you have let's use a more simple example. You have two cars, right? And one car is at a dead stop, and then the other one you're running into with the car behind it. So you're crashing into a car in front of you.
F equals MA, baby.
Yeah. Well, so like if the car that's going fast has 100, let's just say 100 joules of energy, right? 100 units of energy. And it hits the car in front of it, and the car in front of it moves with 90 joules of energy. How much energy does the car that it hit with have to have still?
10
joules, right? Because it's 100 minus 90, so 10 is left. But what in reality, that's in like a perfect world where there's no losses due to like entropy or heat waste or just like inefficiencies,
friction.
Yeah. So what really happens is the car behind it hits the one in front of it. It transfers some energy, right? So maybe you had 100 units to start with. The car in front of it is hit and it takes in 90 units. So now it's moving with a speed that goes to that 90 units of energy. But then 10 units of energy is just wasted because of like, inefficiencies or heat or damage to both cars or whatever, right? Deforming the metal and all that kind of crap. What the EM drive was saying was that sometimes the car in front of you will go faster than the one behind it did after it gets hit.
Without that outside force.
Too. So what it basically was saying was if you hit a car in front of you with 100 units of energy, sometimes the car in front of it gets to move with 110 units of energy. But that doesn't make any sense because where does that 10 units of energy come from?
And you mentioned in this scenario, let's say that there isn't a second car moving with 100. at that and crashing into it. Let's say you're just sitting in that car stationary. It's someone I saw said it's like pushing on the inside of the windshield
yes.
to get the car to move forward.
It is. Yeah. No, yeah. That's exactly right. It's like, mm-hmm. so in physics or in like any of these cases, you like define your system where energy flows in. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the problems in all these tests was exactly like that guy was saying. They were defining their system as only inside of the EM drive itself yeah. and not accounting for all of the energy they lost by heating up the damn thing.
That's the biggest heat is like the grand equalizer of everything, even in, you know, electronics, everything is your heat loss or your heat soak. It kills a lot of designs no matter what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so it's just like from like a basic physics perspective, the EM drive was never going to work. It doesn't make any damn sense. Because yeah. like you said, Flora, it's like they're basically trying to say that like, so you have this another kind of good example of it actually would be like, you ever sit in a car and then you kind of rock back and forth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. What they're saying, what they yeah, were basically yeah. saying was you could sometimes, if you're a quantum particle, when you rock back and forth on the car to get it to get momentum in one energy state, or, you know, if you get it to give it energy in the forward versus the back, sometimes you'll hit it with enough force or you'll hit it just right so that if you push it with 100 joules of energy, it'll gain 200 joules of energy. And so it'll have apparent thrust from nowhere. Right. Yeah. It literally is like, it's like literally third grade misunderstandings of physics, but because it's all quantum and everything and DARPA funded it, we pretend like it's not really dumb.
Thrust yeah. from nowhere is my sex move. Thank you very much. So don't be stealing my moves.
Well, it's actually really funny though, because this DARPA thing leads like directly into what my story is about this week.
Well, ooh. Hit us with it. And if it's about the DARPA Mud Hens or some other weird team.
The DARPA Impossibles.
No, so, like, okay, so DARPA and the military, like, the military funds lots of stupid research.
Of course.
Because, like, huzzah. The military, their job, like, in some instances, the military, their whole job is, like, to study stuff that looks like it'll never work, but it's the government, so they have so much money and so much time and so many people to waste that they'll just study like crazy crap like the EM drive and whatever.
I think one of the things I love is they'll come up with an idea, and if 10 people believe in it, they'll have to tell one of them, all right, tell us why it won't work, even if you don't believe. That's a great – I think I wish more things work that way. The government just throws money at everything to see what sticks almost.
Yeah. That is exactly what they do, right? And that's why, like, every couple of years, UFO or, like, science fiction people or whatever will have a new story where, like, hey, did you know DARPA was funding, like, the EM drive or space ghosts or psychic laser beam warrior monks or, like, right? It's because the government's, like, part of the government's whole thing is funding stuff that is so out of the realm of the possible that if it did work, it would be like a world changing thing.
This year on UPN, psychic space warrior monks, whatever the fuck you call it.
Seriously though, right? Like the government is funding stuff that will never ever work. And there's parts of the government and parts of that research world that are like so far removed from reality that they're just like, it's like theoretical physics to the like thousandth degree. Yeah. And so this week, actually today, the National Defense Authorization Act that was just passed by the Senate, it was passed by the House and then the Senate now, actually includes a section in it for – it's section 1683. It says, quote, establishment of office, organizational structure, and authorities to address unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yeah, this is the new hotness in the UFO news. Mm-hmm.
It's the new hotness until everyone realizes that, like, why would the government tell your like drunk brother?
Do you really
about
think
aliens?
This wasn't going on originally? Yeah. Now that they're telling us means that we're not actually going to find out the real information.
It's ridiculous, right? So, but the whole thing here and some of the stuff that they talk about is like very similar to the EM drive stuff or warp bubbles or whatever, right? It's this sort of far out theoretical physics that they'll throw a couple of hundreds of thousands of dollars at, and then it never goes anywhere, and that's what, that's just how it goes, right? It's just like government waste,
or
essentially.
Or it's trickling it out, and they're going to tell us all, Chris, and we're all about to be Venusians and living on our space exploring lives because, you know, it's all true, everything.
What's really interesting about this is it talks about one of the things it wants to create is a field investigation team that'll investigate unidentified aerial phenomena events. So basically,
so
like
X-Files.
It's basically making like the Men in Black, right?
Yeah.
And it's also creating, a team or people whose entire job it will be to do like, basically, again, figure out like, well, if an alien was real, how would they get here? Right. So like, what would a spaceship look like? All sort of stuff. Some of which, again, is like very cool, right? Like stuff that I think we should be investigating and should be funding. But one of the things that's really interesting here is it talks about, it talks about the need for a team to understand the physical effects that seeing a UFO has on a person.
Fuck right. You know what that means? They're going to be out there fucking putting on some fake UFO shit so we can figure it out.
Dude, well, interesting, right?
Is that so crazy to say? How do you test it otherwise?
It's really, really interesting. It's like the government is basically coming out and saying, and again, this is just like, just because the Senate says something is important, like in my mind, the Senate saying something is important is like the least important thing. Like,
oh yeah. The most out of touch people in the fucking world.
Exactly. Like it's, you know, this is like the people that push this and say like, oh my God, this is a great thing. It's like, remember how many times we investigated Benghazi? Like, did that lead to anything? Right. No. You know what I mean? Like, this is government, like in some ways this looks like it's just sort of government pork thrown out to people like Elizondo and Mellon who lobbied for this to happen, right? Through some of their favorite senators, like Kirsten Gillibrand and Marco Rubio and this other guy, but it's really, really interesting. And it's sort of it's a really interesting case, I think, of like the public not really understanding how military research works. Like, how does, you know, if the military, like we watch those things on the History Channel a lot, in my house at least, on like, you know, Hitler had like a rocket that was like a giant pinwheel that would like circle the air and go after people or whatever, right? Or we had a submarine during the Civil War that just like drowned people, right? it's the military's job in some ways to prepare for like really far out in advanced threats and ideas.
Right.
And
when really they should be combating stupidity.
Well, like they're sort of saying, and I think it's pretty clear that we've been leapfrogged in capabilities in space and aerospace capabilities by other countries like China, right? I think that's fairly obvious that we've been leapfrogged.
Well, I think we dropped the ball. We quit caring for a very long time.
Well, exactly. We've been fighting wars in we've been focused on fighting like guerrilla war since like the 70s. You know, the Afghanistan, you know, the Taliban and the Vietnamese, you know, resistance and like these other places, they did not have an air force. So there was no need for us to up our air superiority because we were always the most superior, you know. But so it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see how this all pans out. But I also think it's going to be really interesting to see how science and sort of how the marketplace of scientific ideas responds to this, because at least from the people that I've been speaking to, the viewpoint on all this UFO stuff from the scientific world is these senators don't seem to know that SETI exists and has existed for a long time, and also seem to not watch enough History Channel to know that these people are ridiculous. Right. But on the other hand, sometimes it's kind of like fake it till you make it. Right. So if you get a senator to say that you're serious, do you become serious?
Not everything that they touch turns to shit. I'm just very, absolutely, very skeptical, absolutely, about this and some of the things that they've said coming out and the research they're going to do. Because also, I think that everyone got so excited that it's finally we're doing it. There's no way in my book that this wasn't already being done. It just, we weren't privy to it. And as soon as you become privy to things, I think that the actual stuff gets put on the back burner and it becomes more of like a dog and pony show. And I'm worried about that.
Yeah. It's also, I think, a really interesting, like, it's a weird case where, to me, this sort of feels like, you know, when you're in high school and you want to, like, everyone goes through their, like, goth or punk phase or whatever, right? This is, to me, this sort of feels like your mom deciding to, like, make you a spike leather BDSM bracelet because, like, she's just embracing your weirdness now, right? Like, you know, that's kind of what it feels like. Because the, you know, if the UFO, if I think 10 years ago, if you had said to the kind of people who believe in UFOs that all of their, like, efforts in their subculture and whatever would one day lead to the creation of a government-sponsored organization to study UFOs, I think a lot of them would have said, ecstatic. Say that again.
I think they'd be ecstatic, right?
I think they would have said, where did we go wrong?
You think so? See, I actually think that a good portion of them would be like, the government's lying to us. Why would we want the government? Like, the government already has its fingers all up in this pie and is hiding things from the public. Why would we want to give them more control over this?
BDSM bracelets, fingers all up in this pie. Chris, you're going down a dark road here.
I'm sorry. This episode's getting too horny. Well, I guess it's sort of a difference of viewpoint, right? Because, like, again, like Brent said too, the government is not always terrible at what it tries to do. You know, like, sometimes the government does do cool things, like the Manhattan Project. I mean, not yeah, the killing. Cool. Jesus Christ. Like, I'm just fucking like, I'll say this. I am not for the nuclear bombing of entire civilizations. All right. Just gonna put that out there. Sometimes the government funding science, I think for the most part, is a good thing. I guess what I wonder is funding stuff like this very rarely turns into anything effective.
Yeah.
And so it's really,
so you think it's pointless?
Not that I think it's pointless. I think it's, I guess I just, like, what happens to all this stuff? What happens to all the stuff right. we do on this? Right? Like, my question, I guess, is at what point does the government say, hey, this is like the 10th UFO study we've done, and every time we just waste a bunch of money and we find nothing?
Well, I don't know, because we don't know what all they're finding. Do you really think we know what they're finding? I don't. I don't think we know at all. So I can't say I can go down that road. I don't know. David, sorry.
Yeah, I get – well, so – sorry, go ahead, Flora.
I'm interested to know if, because it's all supposed to be science, so you try to, as they say, fail forward, right? Is it worth knowing the science that comes out of it in your mind, or is it just not even worth the effort and the results that they get?
See, that's the thing. I think a lot of the times, like with the EM drive, anyone looking at that, no one thought the EM drive was viable except for this, like, one guy
or people that read snippets online and didn't understand it and then went, yay, and pass it around.
Exactly.
Public opinion is important in things like this.
Is it worth finding out for sure that that's not viable is my question, I guess.
But that's the question, I think, ultimately, is at what point do you put viability? Because, like, the EM drive is just as unviable, I think, to a scientist or someone looking at it from that perspective as, like Flora, is it worth you checking your couch every morning to make sure you didn't lose $1 million in the couch cushions?
I don't know if I would say that would be the same thing. But it is, I guess that would be breaking the laws of physics for $1 million to just pop into the cushions of my couch.
Yeah, maybe a better example would be, it feels like lottery ticket thinking. Like, it could happen.
Yeah.
And so if I'm not part of the, draw every time, then I'm losing money. I'm losing potential money. Right.
Yeah.
That's sort of what it feels like. But so Chris, I guess what I'm wondering is, lotto
might as well be you.
Well, I guess I sort of wonder. I wonder, I suppose, what does if because I agree with you guys. I think that if we are studying this stuff, we hopefully are using it to fail forward. Yeah. And maybe the reason they keep funding this is because it keeps going well and they just don't tell us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's. I would hope that there's something useful they could get out of the results, you know?
Yeah. The challenge, I guess, to that, or I guess the problem I have with that sort of thinking is a lot of this to me has the feel and look of like a satanic panic style moral panic, you know? So just like, you know, like what's the difference between someone, a QAnon believing senator coming forward and saying all of these people are claiming that kids are being taken into the sex slavery. We need to investigate this to make sure there's not like a satanic cabal running, you know, secret satanic cabal running things versus a lot of people are claiming to be abducted by aliens. We need to get to the bottom of this, whether or not abductions are really happening. Right. Mm. Like, I guess what I wonder is in the one case, because it passes over that line of like credibility, we say, well, maybe there really is something to this. And not that the government is saying they're going to investigate abductions, but like in this document, they're talking about the negative physical effects of encounters with a UFO, right? Like they're talking about people being like zapped by lasers, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you know, they know more than you do. And I do. And they're,
but yeah, but maybe they do, but that's the whole, that's like the whole thing, right? It's trust. It's confidence. You have to
have confidence and trust in these people. And they're fully going to fuck it up in the public eye. That's what I have trust in, but I'm also not going to shit on them for doing it. Cause I do think I think at least it's a step in the right direction of getting the conversation going of, we are in a vastness of space. The thought that we're the only life forms is fucking stupid. And so many people really believe that that is it, period, full stop, be it for whatever reason. So anything to move the goalpost a little bit closer to sanity is okay in my book.
Yeah. See, so what I think about this too, I also think about the like social implications of belief in like conspiracy theory and pseudoscience and whatever.
And we're in the grips of it now.
Yeah. And that's also what I wonder, right? Is okay, cool. The government, like, I do think they should look into this for sure, right? But I also think what the government should be studying is, if they don't find anything, I think the next logical question is, if there's nothing to this, then why the hell do people believe it?
Right. Right. Well, yeah.
Hmm. And that sort of changes sciences, I guess, in that respect. Then you go into psychology.
Yes.
I'm wondering if it's like you mentioned, QAnon, the QAnon example and stuff. Maybe it's all just projection from the government, just like it is from QAnon, because you know all those QAnon idiots are out there fondling kids, and they're just trying to pass the blame, which comes out more often than you'd think. Maybe the government, you know, has already been doing this, like we said, and knows about it, and this is their way of, like, I don't know, easing the public into something. I guess that's getting into disclosure.
Well, hey, here's what you need to know. If you want to get into conspiracies and not feel stupid, the Poughkeepsie conspiracy theorists play every Thursday night down at the ballpark, and Saturday is bobblehead night for the Poughkeepsie conspiracy theorists.
I was going to say, Flora, I definitely agree with you that Nancy Pelosi is a reptile woman. That's definitely true, right? There's clearly aliens in Congress pulling the strings.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do wonder. I also wonder that too, right? Like, some of the people that claim to have had like negative interactions with this stuff, like, what if they were just hurt by like a military aircraft? Right. Or like, what if they just got like there's all kinds of stuff that could really be happening here.
And fell in the campfire.
Yeah, listen, all right, you're going to throw that at me again, Flora. I don't even fucking understand it.
But Chris, that's an important thing. Plausible deniability, it's easier to say, yeah, it was an alien, let people run with that, than, oops, we were trying out something new, and you got a little too close and got fried.
Yeah. I guess what I really wonder about with all of this is, again, it feels very much so like, it feels like the outcomes of this are going to be the same as all the other times.
Maybe.
And yeah. And so it's sort of like I think it's just a very interesting, it's a very interesting sort of like social kind of play we go through every couple of years. Mm. And it's, yeah, it's just super interesting. Hopefully it goes differently. Hopefully they fucking find something.
Well, hey, there's been more talk of UFOs, UAPs, everything in the news, the mainstream yeah. news in the last few years than there has been in the last history. So I'm okay at least with some aspects of that. And some of the people that I do not care for in this have actually been the people that have gotten those talks started. So one way or another, I'm trying to keep a brighter outlook on it than maybe I have had in the past. But I just don't trust people or the government. So we'll see how all this goes.
Yeah. 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 Fingers. Yeah. We'll all keep our fingers crossed for yeah. something cool coming from this.
Changing gears. Something kind of cool, kind of scary. Not that we have to worry about. Mine is a story about the saber-toothed cat or the saber-toothed tiger. So for a long time, they thought that it was, you know, about the size of our normal cats that we have, like nowadays, which are large. They've been doing discoveries, or they discovered a bunch of skulls, and they've been doing testing on them, which always blows my mind. These were found in like 89, and they're just now working on them. Excuse me. I'm coughing a lot today. Anyway. They're doing is the largest they found. It's a 16-inch long saber-toothed tiger skull. Proves they are way bigger. This animal would have been at least 960 pounds. I love how they, in the great American way, they go, it was as large as a grand piano. Like just throwing it into like this our
understanding. At least five washing machines.
Right. But here's the other interesting thing. The skull has a fracture that wasn't very old on it because it had been attacked by another, and it looks like the jaw marks of another saber-toothed cat that was possibly larger. That's fucking crazy to talk about. And the other thing is
a bigger cat,
right? You know, well, so the largest Tyrannosaurus Rex, it's in the Chicago at the Sue. Thank you, Sue. She has a giant head trauma too, because she was attacked by something probably larger at some point in time. And she's the largest Tyrannosaurus that we have. So that's kind of crazy to think about, but they're looking at these and they say that it's been hard to track down the exact size because it would have been a lot more simple if these things hunted in packs, but they think that they were lone hunters, kind of like tigers are. They keep off on their own, and so they are few and far between the skeletal and the fossil remains that we have. But it is kind of crazy to just, you know, look at these animals and all of a sudden they're twice the size. The largest tiger right now is 600 pounds. That's the continental tiger. Males get up to 600 pounds. This is, you know, 360 pounds larger than that.
What's crazy, like, because I never have a good sense of how big any animal besides like a house cat versus like a dog is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the first time I saw a bald eagle, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, they're huge,
right? Mm-hmm. So I just, when you sent this to me, I Googled like, because they said in the article, they say that they think that it was probably like not, they used to think that these were like the size of tigers today,
mm-hmm.
but now they're like, well, actually they were probably the size of like large bears. And in my mind, I always just sort of, because I've, you know, in my lifetime, I've seen like brown and black bears, you know, but like mostly black bears, and they're small, you know, much smaller than brown bears. But if you look at like the size difference between like a polar bear versus a tiger.
Oh yeah.
Dude, it's like looking at a it's seriously like the difference between a Great Dane and like a golden retriever. Like they're so much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting to me. So like, dude, they think there might even have been a bigger one. It's pretty nuts.
They talked about how so cats today, like you take your house cat. They're ambush hunters for the most part. They eat smaller prey, whereas even the larger you know, look at lions and tigers and stuff. They still hunt smaller prey. But then back in the day, these things were, around when like the giant ground sloths and shit were around. And they said they always wondered, like, how would one of the smaller size been able to take one of these down? Because it's believed that they did, because of things had, well, maybe they were a lot fucking bigger than we realized, or maybe they did hunt in packs and that's just not been able to be established yet. But they did say that the size, this new size that they're seeing, is really rewriting, making a little bit more sense to why they were such prolific, you know, all over the place and lasted for as long as they did. So, yeah, you never know. And then next week we'll find that they were 10 times smaller and this was a freak and it was all fake. So that's how science works, baby.
Sabretooth Tiger was on growth hormone.
Well, don't forget, it is growth hormone night at the Kalamazoo Sabretooth Tigers game. The first 500 people get a HG human growth hormone injection and a baseball bat.
Free with every chili dog.
This was a fun one. We kind of went from rats to science to space
to baseball
to Sabretooth cat. So it's a fun one. It was good. You guys got anything coming up? Anything exciting going on your shows? That silence screams yes into the night.
we're on a break until February for us to like write episodes and stuff. Yeah. We have, yeah. So, I mean, we're just kind of chilling, man.
Nice. Well, if you are a Hysteria 51 listener and you've listened to our past adventures, we're getting ready to, we're recording, getting the touches on adventure number 3. Number Trey, if you're keeping tabs at home, so keep an eye out for that. That'll be coming out probably January, February, but we are working on that right now, so kind of fun.
Saturnalia, aka Fuxmas, is coming up. I think that's the 21st. It's the winter solstice. It's the longest night of the year.
Ooh.
The unofficial blurry photos, the unofficial official blurry photos holiday of Saturnalia. Get yourself some chocolate and wine and beer and whatever, and
some of Chris Cogswell's mom's BDSM bracelets.
That's and, right. And some lingerie and have fun on the longest night of the year.
Yeah.
If you like the outerwear, you're gonna love the innerwear. good times, folks.
All right, kids. Well, this has been Mad Blurry Hysteria. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Meeting adjourned.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.